Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Erev and Daf Tzadi Vav. We are continuing now as we began yesterday the first perek of. Sorry, try that again. 10th perek of Erevin. First perek was some time ago. The 10th perek of Erevin, where we started kind of a miscellaneous discussion of Hilchos Shabbos. As I mentioned yesterday, the perek doesn't necessarily belong here in Erevin, but it's here, and therefore we take a crack at it. We're going to finish the Masechta in less than 2 weeks from today. Week and a half, I think. Anyway, the 10th parak began yesterday with the halacha of finding tefillin out in the street on Shabbos. So you're walking out in the street on Shabbos, and you see a pair of tefillin, you see a couple pairs of tefillin on Shabbos. So what do you do? So you don't want to just let them hang out over there, subject to the elements, subject to theft. So what you want to try to do is you want to try to bring the tefillin back home. So the problem is it's Shabbos. Now, there's a fundamental question which the Mishnah doesn't really address, which we're going to address today, and that is there a mitzvah to wear tefillin on Shabbos? So there's nowhere in the Torah where the Torah actually limits when tefillin should be worn. The Torah just simply says, wear your tefillin, and the Torah doesn't actually mandate when they should be worn, when they shouldn't be worn. You know, we look around, we kind of get the feeling that Shabbos is not the right time for tefillin, but we're learning right now, and we're going to ask the very basic question, Shabbos is a time for tefillin, Shabbos is not a time for tefillin. It's the Gemara's lashon is mantvillin or lav's mantvillin. Okay, so one of our big questions which we're going to raise today. But in the meantime, however, just to review the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, so you find the tefillin out in the street. So what do you do? So the Mishnah says, amotzi tefillin machnis in zug zug. So you bring it in one pair at a time. At least that's the opinion of the Tanna Kamma. So basically, you put the tefillin on the shel yad, the shel rosh. You walk back home, you take them off, and then you keep doing that until you get all the tefillin in. And then the shita of Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah, no, shtayim, that you don't bring him in one at a time, but rather you can bring him in two at a time. And actually, in actuality, you're wearing two pair of tefillin at a time. Okay.
Not three or four.
Nothing more than two for reasons which we're going to explain. Now, in our Mishnah, that's the machlokes between Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Gamliel. There's more to the Mishnah, but for today, that's all we need. All we need to know for today is just the machlokes between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Gamliel. Tomorrow we'll go on to discuss other points of our Mishnah. Now, yesterday we established a couple of things. First of all, where exactly the placement of your tefillin should be. So, one of the important points of this discussion is just simply know where does the tefillin belong. So, the Torah is a little bit misleading in where the tefillin belong. The Torah says that the totafos beinei necha, the os al yadecha totafos beinei necha, that you put the os right between your eye. And you put the totafos ayadecha, so hand and eye. So neither is actually accurate in terms of what we know. Allah Moshe Mitzinai. We know that the tefillin shel yad don't go on the yad; they don't go on your actual hand, but they go on your arm. And in terms of the arm, so it's the upper arm. In fact, you could take a look at Tosfos over here. We're not going to go through it right now. Tosfos has the discussion exactly where in the arm, but basically. It is the center of the upper arm, from the elbow to the center point. Those are the places. That's the place that you put the shel yad. What about the shel rosh? So the Gemara gave a description yesterday of where exactly the shel rosh goes. The Gemara says yesterday, bein enecha zeh kad kod. So it goes on your head, meaning not between your eyes, but it goes on your head. But where exactly does that mean on your head? So the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yanai. Where on the baby's skull, it's still very soft, it's still developing, so therefore the soft spot right in the top, right in the crown of your head. So basically the point in which you're wearing tefillin is anywhere between the hairline is or was, depending on what stage you are in life, and the center part of your head, that's where the tefillin shel rosh go. And beinei necha just simply means alignment. It has to be aligned between your eyes, but in terms of the actual placement, it goes up higher vertically on your head. Okay, the Gemara yesterday pointed out that given these parameters of where the tefillin go, their actuality is or are two tefillin that can be worn by everybody at any given point in time. Meaning, there's enough room on the arm to wear two pairs of tefillin, and there's enough room on the head to wear two shel roshes. Now, Tosfos has the discussion; it's the obvious discussion. It really does depend on how big the tefillin are. Meaning, we now know the surface area on your arm and on your head. Where the tefillin belong, but really, to gain a better understanding of how many pairs of tefillin, meaning big tefillin versus small tefillin, right? We have this phenomenon nowadays. We wear these very big tefillin, meaning We have the technology nowadays where we basically convert thick leather into tefillin. These are what's called gassos, or highly recommended by all sofrim. I'm not a sofer. I have no vested interest other than just, you know, getting quality tefillin. So, but that's a more modern phenomenon. In the good old days, tefillin were small and very thin. So the how big a tefillin are we looking at? Are we talking about? So Tosfos over here quotes basically the size of tefillin operating back then was shtei etzba'os. It was two finger length, basically talking about a 2x2 inch area. Our tefillin are slightly bigger than that, but anyway, okay, just a basic sense of this discussion of how big your tefillin are and the place on your body where they are tefillin. Anyway, what comes out from this whole discussion, just let's now bring it back to the Gemara, what comes out from this whole discussion is that in actuality there is room for two pairs of tefillin on your head and on your arm. Now, why would anyone wear two pairs of tefillin? So, in the good old days where they basically had one, if I could say this, if there was one basic opinion of what tefillin are made of, so then obviously you'd only want to wear one pair, meaning to wear that second pair of tefillin is kind of unnecessary. It's a redundancy. So what? So our Gemara's discussion of two pairs of tefillin is just simply a question of bringing it in from the Rishos HaRabim to the Rishos HaYachid. And would it be possible if I, in other words, I wanted just trying to maximize the amount of tefillin I could wear right now, just so I could protect and save the tefillin. So that's why we're having a discussion of wearing two pairs of tefillin at one given time. Nowadays, I don't really mean nowadays, but I'm saying over the course of our history where there's a machlokas in terms of how actually the tefillin should be written and prepared. I'll explain that a little bit better in just a moment. So so there's another reason why a person would want to wear two pairs of tefillin nowadays, and that is to put on two different pairs of tefillin, meaning I'm sure everyone knows this, the Sheet of Rashi and the Sheet of Rabbi Natan. Machlokas Rishonim, major machlokas amongst the Rishonim, exactly how the tefillin should be arranged. According to Rashi, there are four parshas in tefillin, right? The four parshas in tefillin are basically the four times in the Torah where the Torah actually references tefillin. So so according to Rashi, the way that those parshas are constructed in the tefillin themselves is that you write them in the order as they present in the Torah. Meaning that the first time the tefillin is mentioned in the Torah, that's the first parsha. Second time is the second parsha. Those first two times, by the way, in parsha's bow. A third time now makes a third parsha, and the fourth time in the Torah is in the fourth parsha. That's Rashi Shita. It's extraordinarily logical. Basically, the parshios in the tefillin follow the parshios in the Torah. It's chronological. It's organized. It makes sense according to Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam, based on the Gemara, not over here, based on the Gemara Menachos, Rabbi Natan disagrees with Rashi, and Rabbi Natan says no. What he does is he takes Parshas 3 and 4, and he flips them, and so basically the two Parshas that begin with Vahaya, right, Vahaya Ki Aviyecha and Vahaya Im Shamoa, so those are actually next to one another within the Tefillin. So therefore, according to Rabbi Natan, the order of the Parshas are, as they present in the Torah, 1, 2, 4, and 3. Okay? Major machlokas amongst the Rishonim. And truth of the matter is, by the way, that there are other opinions. Right? Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are the popular opinions. But there are other opinions in terms of what the proper sequence should be. But in the meantime, however, so that's Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. It has been an old minhag, a very old minhag, that if possible, you should put on both. You should put on Rashi, you should put on Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi is kind of the accepted tefillin, but if given the opportunity, you should put on Rabbeinu Tam as well. So many Jews do so. It's the most popular, I think, most popular amongst the Chabad. The Hasidic sect of Chabad, they are very into having two pairs of tefillin and wearing both pairs of tefillin. Minhag Chabad is not to wear them at the same time. Minhag Chabad is to replace them. But the truth of the matter is, if you ever saw a pair of Lubavitch tefillin, you would understand they are immense, they're enormous, and there's just no physical way that you could actually wear them at the same time. However, the Shulchan Aruch, goes back to the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch actually talks about trying to wear both pairs of tefillin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and the Shulchan Aruch actually writes, if possible, you know, you wear both at the same time. So it's interesting. Our discussion on wearing two pairs of tefillin is not the same as the Gemara's discussion. Our discussion is because of the machlokas of how tefillin actually should be ordered. The Gemara's discussion is just simply, how many can I save at one time? Okay, but it still yields the same result, and that is that it's possible to wear two pairs of tefillin at the same time. The Gemara were on Sadi Hey Amud Beis, we're at the period, right, about 6-7 lines from the bottom, and we're going to continue now in the Gemara. Okay, everyone with me? That was a long introduction, but hopefully helpful. So Lema b'Rav Shmuel b'Rav Yitzchak k'mifle g'tanakama l'esle d'Rav Shmuel b'Rav Yitzchak v'Rav Gamliel esle d'Rav Shmuel b'Rav Yitzchak. So the Gemara now suggests, look, we have a machlokas in our Mishnah. We will be spending half of this morning, approximately, about half of this morning, trying to understand what exactly is the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Gamliel. Again, you go out to the field, you see a pair of tefillin, you see more than one pair of tefillin. How many can wear at one time? So the Tanakama says just one pair, and Rav Gamliel says two pair. So let's see if we can give a pshat in the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Gamliel. So the Gemara says, perhaps the machlokas between Tanakama and Rav Gamliel is exactly this discussion we just had. Maybe the Tanakama feels that there's only room on your arm and on your head for one pair of tefillin. And maybe, according to Rav Gamliel, there's room on your arm and on your head for two pair of tefillin. Maybe that's the machlokas between the two. The Gemara immediately rejects this load. The Gemara says, no, everybody agrees to the position of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, and that is that there is room on your arm and on your head for two pairs of tefillin. The hacha, and now the Gemara is going to suggest, make four or five, depending on how we can count them, but four or five different suggestions in terms of what exactly is the machlokas of our Mishnah. Now, each one of these suggestions really could be a very lengthy discussion. I'm going to shorten the whole discussion just for the purpose of brevity and the purpose of getting through the daf. But there's a lot of major key suggestions in terms of what's going on in our Mishnah. So number one, this is the first suggestion of the Gemara, b'Shabbos Man Tefillin K'Miflegi. Maybe the machlokas between the Tanakam and Rav Gamliel is whether or not Shabbos is Man Tefillin. Okay? Again, as I mentioned in the beginning of today's daf, there is no pasuk in the Torah that says don't put tefillin on Shabbos. There may be, but we'll talk about that later. So is Shabbos Zman Tefillin or not Zman Tefillin? So the Gemara now, without giving us sources, suggests that maybe that's the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rav Gamliel. Tanakama savar Shabbos Zman Tefillin, who? So the Tanakama is of the opinion that Shabbos is in fact Zman Tefillin. Okay, now what does that mean? And so what? So as Rashi points out, meaning that on Shabbos, when I put tefillin on, you know what I'm doing? I'm being mekayim a mitzvah.
Should
we
make your bracha and everything?
I would, yes. I'm not sure. But maybe yes. But the point is, it's a de facto mitzvah. So I can't put on more than one pair, right? Again, by the way, remember, we're assuming in this whole discussion that there's only one ubiquitous pair of tefillin. Meaning it's not Rashi, it's not Rabbi Natam, there's one recognized tefillin. So now I put on one pair. I'm going to put on a second pair. And as Rashi points out, I'm reading the Rashi. Delav tachshin enu v'choshekin dekevin dezman tefillin hu v'ika bal tosif asi iser bal tosif v'mashvei alei kamasui. So Rashi writes, if in fact Shabbos is man tefillin, so that means that when I'm donning that second pair of tefillin, well, I already were mekayim my mitzvah, so what I'm doing now is in addition to what the Torah demanded of me. This is a prohibition the Torah called Baal Tosif. I'm not allowed to add to the Torah. The Torah tells us to put on one pair of tefillin, and here I am now putting on a second pair of tefillin on Shabbos. And Rashi writes, if it's extraneous and it's prohibited, it becomes a burden. And because it becomes a burden, says Rashi, so therefore you're carrying on Shabbos. That's why, according to the Tanakhama, I can only wear one pair.
Are we assuming that the second pair is Rabbeinu Tam or Rashi?
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that's last 800 years. But that's a contemporary discussion, Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam. So take all that knowledge and put it aside right now. We're not having a Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam discussion. We're having a simple, let's assume there's everything is equal, it's ubiquitous, there's one recognized tefillin, and the Torah says put on one pair, not two pair. It's that simple. So when I put on the second pair on Shabbos, and I'm fulfilling a mitzvah on Shabbos, the second pair is now extra. It's called Baal Tosif, and therefore it's a burden. Because when we're wearing two pairs of tefillin nowadays, we're doing so because we want to satisfy two opinions, meaning we're not sure today what's right. Should I wear Rashi or should I wear Rabbeinu Tam? Now again, it's more or less recognized that Rashi is the tefillin. But Rabbeinu Tam also, maybe he may be right. So we're doing it because of a suffix. Meaning we're trying to accomplish both because of a suffix. I'll give you a simple example. Right? Shmini Atzeres, right? That's the eighth day of Sukkot. Torah says to sit in the Sukkot for 7 days. And what do? Here in the diaspora? We sit in the Sukkot on the eighth day. Now I know some people don't, but I'm not talking to them right now. I'm talking to the people sitting in the Sukkot on the eighth day, which is what the Gemara demands of us. But so we sit in the eighth day. Now, isn't that Baal Tosif? Aren't we adding to the Torah? No. We're in the diaspora. We have with this idea of Sfega Diyama. We don't know what's the right day. So therefore, we sit in the eighth day because maybe the eighth day is the seventh day. Okay, so when we're trying to fulfill a mitzvah and it comes from a point of uncertainty, that's not Baal Tosif. Same thing with the tefillin. I'm wearing my Rabbeinu Tam, I don't. But in other words, for those of us who wear the Rabbeinu Tam, so I'm doing so because I'm trying to fulfill the mitzvah, because I'm uncertain who is right. Is Rashi right? Is Rabbeinu Tam right?
Well, Rashi, when he was 13, he didn't wear a Rashi
tefillin. I understand. It's an older... The Machlokas predates Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. They just popularized the debate in terms of what the tefillin are.
But the Baal Tosif is not for the two pairs of tefillin that are the same.
Right, in other words, right, for two pairs of tefillin that are the same, so now we're going to have a Baal Tosif. Right, that's where we're going to have a Baal Tosif discussion. Because now the second pair that I'm wearing is totally superfluous. And not only superfluous, it's additional to what the Torah demanded of me. So that's going to be a violation of Baal Tosif. Whereas now, that's the position of the Tanakhama. And then, Rabbi Gamliel, Savar, Shabbos, Lav, Zman, Tefillin, who? Shabbos is not Zman, Tefillin. Now, if Shabbos is not Zman, Tefillin, so let's really think this through. If Shabbos is not the right time for tefillin, so by what right do I have to pick up the tefillin and bring it back in? I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah, correct, but what I'm doing is I'm saving the tefillin. I mentioned yesterday, right, we're going to operate under the banner of save the tefillin, meaning that even though there's no mitzvah to wear tefillin, but certainly to be Zion, it'd be a disgrace to leave the tefillin out in the street, subject to elements and theft. So therefore, what the rabbis allowed us to do is to, on Shabbos, pick up the tefillin, not carry them, because that's carrying and that's not allowed, but wearing them back home. But I'm not doing it because of a mitzvah, I'm doing it because of hatzalah, because I'm saving it. So now, under what category am I wearing them? So as Rashi explains, I'm wearing them under the category of tachshit, meaning it's like an adornment. It's ornamental, right? You're allowed to wear nice jewelry on Shabbos, again, with reservation, as we already spent a parak of Shabbos learning. So you're allowed to wear tefillin. Tefillin also are beautiful. And they also serve as an adornment. So I wear the tefillin on Shabbos as a tachshit. Now, how many pairs of tefillin? Now, I'm not wearing it as a mitzvah. I'm wearing it as a tachshit. How many pairs could I wear? Two. Why two? Because there's room on your arm and on your head for two pairs of tefillin. Right? You can't... What's understood in this whole discussion is that you can't put the tefillin on another body part and say, hey, this is ornamental. No. Even as a tachshit, it still has to be in the proper area. Well, since in the proper area there's room for two, that's why according to Rami Gamliel, you wear them as two.
Well, if it's ornamental, why does it matter where it exactly is?
Because it still has to, it has to fall under a category. Right? We can't just simply...
It's ornamental.
I understand that, but even ornamental. Meaning, I can't... let's say it like this. Right? Let's say I decide that, I'm a big jewelry wearer. I don't wear a single piece. But let's say you write not even a watch. I can't. But let's say I wear a ring, and let's say I take the ring off on Shabbos and say, I feel that the ring will look a lot better if I just place it on my forehead over Shabbos. I balance it on my forehead. So that's not wearing. That's called carrying. So in other words, there are certain understood places where certain jewelry go. So if the tefillin are going to fall under the category of tachshit, they have to go in the right place. It's just an assumption of the Gemara. Okay, you can certainly challenge it, but that's the assumption of the Gemara. So the Rabbi Gamliel Sefer Shabbos Lav Zman Tefillin Hu. Okay, that is now all under explanation number one of the Gemara. Okay, of the Machlok between the Tanakhama and Gamliel. E bias Eima, the Gemara says, or we can give a second explanation. Now over here it's going to get a little bit complex, and I'm going to again just shorten the whole discussion over here, because the question over here and the second suggestion of the Gemara is, first of all, what's the correct gears of the Gemara, followed then by part two, what's the understanding of the correct gears of the Gemara. So Rashi over here goes through two different gears. I'm going to present for today Rashi's second gears, which is his preferred gears of the Gemara, followed then by Rashi's explanation. But if you want, please take a look at Rashi. Rashi also offers another explanation for this number two. E by Yisema Dekul Le'alma, Shabbos man tefillin. It could be that everyone's of the agreement that Shabbos is in fact the right time for tefillin. V'hacha b'mitzvos tzrichos kavana kamiflagi. And over here the question is whether or not mitzvos require kavana. Now, in our Gemara, Tanakama Savar, Lot says, Baye Kavana. Now, that's not the girsa that Rashi prefers. Rashi prefers the girsa in which the Tanakama holds that mitzvos ain't Srichos Kavana. And Rabbi Gamliel Savar, Rabbi Gamliel Savar, in our Gemara, we have Lo Baye Kavana, Baye Kavana. Now, before I explain the details, let's just go over the basic concept. Mitzvah Srichos Kavana comes up a couple times throughout Shas. It's a really fundamental discussion. And that's the following, right? In other words, we fulfill mitzvahs every day. Right? In the morning, we say Shema. We put on tefillin. We daven Shemona Esrei. We wear tzitzis. Do I have to be thoughtful about my performance of the mitzvah? So let's first of all cut the discussion really short. The answer is yes. In other words, you have to realize and recognize that when you're doing a mitzvah, you need to realize I'm doing a mitzvah. Right, very. Sometimes throughout the Siddur, you're going to find that before you put on tefillin, there's a paragraph that you say before you put on tefillin. L'shem kusha, right? Okay. Basically, what that paragraph is trying to tell you is, hey, you're about to do a mitzvah, think about it. Meaning, think about the fact that you're doing a mitzvah. In other words, then don't robotically just wrap tefillin on and don't robotically just say Shema. I understand, it's human nature that when you do it every day, day in and day out, we tend to get robotic about it, but we got to fight that. And we have to be thoughtful about the mitzvahs that we do. So the first point of discussion is, it's not a discussion. Do mitzvahs require kavana? Yeah, sure. In other words, I need to be thoughtful about the mitzvah I'm about to do. However, what if I didn't have a kavana? What if I did it robotically? I put on tefillin, I davened, and then, half an hour later, I asked myself, did I even daven? Did I even put on tefillin? Meaning you did it so by rote, so habitually. So did you fulfill the mitzvah, yes or no? In other words, so you did the act, but with no intent behind the act. That turns into a fundamental discussion of whether mitzvah is tzrichos kavana or mitzvah is ain't tzrichos kavana. Again, the starting point of the discussion is, yes, you need to have kavana when you do the mitzvah. But what if I, lechatchila, absolutely. But what if I don't? Do I got to go back and have a do-over on the mitzvah? Big machlokis amongst Tanayim, whether or not this is so. Where you have this discussion here, you have it back in Rosh Hashanah. Okay, the discussion comes up a number of times throughout Shas. So the Gemara says, perhaps over here, this is going to be the machlokus between the Tanakam and Rambam Gamliel. Meaning, let's again, the supposition of the second suggestion of the Gemara is that Shabbos is the right time for tefillin, which means that I could be fulfilling the mitzvah. Now again, I'm going to explain this according to Rashi's second girsa. If you want to see me inside, I'm going to read in Rashi Venir Ali. I'm three lines from the bottom of Rashi. Dehachi garsin and tanakamas over mitzvahs ain't tzrichos kavana. Ulekale amatachin hein hilkach kevin delinyan meipik yidei chavasa. Napik below kavana. Look, according to the Tanakama, once I put on tefillin on Shabbos. Now here, I don't walk outside with the thought of, hey, let me wear tefillin. I just want to bring them inside. But according to the Tanakhama, because he's of the position that mitzvahs do not require tefillin, the moment I strap them on, I'm in mitzvah mode. I'm fulfilling a mitzvah.
What about the second pair?
That's why, according to the Tanakhama, you can't wear a second pair. That's exactly the explanation of the Tanakhama.
But what if you do have a kavana to wear it as by default, you're saying like
that's exactly the point. In other words, by default, you're doing a mitzvah. Right. Rashi, let's see the Rashi inside. First, let's go through the Rashi. I'll come up for afterwards. Below kavan lenya baltosif nami alpha gav delo mechavin lehu le mitzvah. Even though right now your intent is not to do the mitzvah, ika baltosif. By putting on that second pair of tefillin, you are now engaged in this prohibition of baltosif. Kevan desman tefillin hu. Because it's the right time to wear tefillin, and according to the Tanakhama, you fulfilled the mitzvah, even though you're robotically just... it's not even robotic, it's even less than robotic. You just want to bring the tefillin from the outside to the inside. Doesn't matter. It's zman tefillin, you put them on, you're in the middle of a mitzvah. Mitzvahs don't require kavana. And putting on the second pair would be a violation of baltosif. Rami Gamliel Savar... Srichos kavana, lot says yidei chavasa. Now Rabbi Gamliel disagrees. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, you require kavana. Therefore, according to Rabbi Gamliel, when I'm putting on tefillin, not for the mitzvah of tefillin, but just for the purpose of getting them from the outside to the inside, so I require kavana, I don't have kavana, so therefore, put on not one pair, put on two pair. You're not violating Baal Tosef. Rashi writes, Heilkach be Baal Tosef, nami lo avar, ad demechavein le mitzvah. Okay. That is a second suggestion of how to explain the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel.
Didn't you learn in the past that Rabbi Gamliel actually in fact said that you don't need kavana in other places for mitzvah?
I don't remember. The question may be spun on, I simply don't remember. This is now the third suggestion. We're on the top of Tzadivav, Amad Aleph. The Kule Amalatzis lo by Kavana. The really, in actuality, you don't need Kavana. Meaning again, Lechatchila you do. But Bidyevit, you do not need Kavana. And so therefore, when you don your tefillin, you are fulfilling a mitzvah. So, the Tanakama, I well understand. You're putting on a pair of tefillin, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. Mitzvahs do not require Kavana. And that's why you cannot put on the second pair of tefillin, because you're in violation of Baal Tosef. How do you now understand the position of Rabbi Gamliel? Excuse me. How do you understand the position of Rabbi Gamliel? So the Gemara says that Tanakama Savar. Sorry, Omishum Baal Tosef Kamifugi. Over here now, the third way of explaining the machlokas is how to understand the Isser of Baal Tosef. Tanakama Savar Lavar Mishum Baal Tosef Lo by Kavana. Rabbi Gamliel Savar Lavar Mishum Baal Tosef by Kavana. The question over here turns into a Baal Tosef question. How do I successfully violate? Not that I ever want to. But how do I successfully violate the Isser of Baal Tosef? So the Tanakhama says it's a default. Meaning, if I'm putting on a second pair, even though my intention is not to fulfill a mitzvah, but because I'm getting the mitzvah, I'm therefore violating Baal Tosef. Rabbi Gamliel is going to argue no. Meaning, I'm agreeing with you, your mitzvahs don't require kavana. And the moment you put on the first pair of tefillin, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. But to violate the Isser of Baal Tosef, I need to be putting on the second pair with the express intent of, hey, I'm ready to now wear my second pair of tefillin. I know the Torah says only put on one pair, but I don't care. I want to add. I'm putting on two pairs of tefillin. In order to violate Baal Tosef, you have to have kavana to violate Baal Tosef. Here in this scenario, in the context of this discussion, that's not your intent. Your intent is just simply to get it from point A to point B. So therefore, you're not going to be violating the Isser of Baal Tosef.
So not Kavana for preferring Mitzvah, but Kavana for the Avera.
Right, correct. Correct. In other words, you need more, according to Rabbi Gamliel, you need more intent for Baal Tosef. That was suggestion number three. E by Yesema, here we go, suggestion number four. E desfir lan deshabbaz man tefillin de kol ha'am lo la'avor by Kavana. V'lo latzis by Kavana. The question over here is, we're now going to change our default assumption. The default assumption is that Shabbos is not the time of tefillin. And the question is over here, can I violate Baal Tosef when it's just simply not the right time? Meaning, this is the first time we're switching this switch. Meaning, up suggestions 1, 2, and 3 assume Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. Now in suggestion number 4 over here, in explanation number 4, Shabbos is Lav Zman Tefillin. And the question is, is it possible to violate Baal Tosef by doing a mitzvah when it's just simply not the right time to do so? Tanakhama is of the opinion, sure. Meaning, 6 days a week we wear Tefillin. The seventh day the Torah excuses us from wearing Tefillin. There's no mitzvah to do so. And I say, I want to wear Tefillin on Shabbos because I want more. More than what the Torah demands of me, that's Baal Tosef. And Rabbi Gamliel's argument is, no. If it's not the right time to do the mitzvah, there's no opportunity to violate the Isser of Baal Tosef. That's the fourth suggestion of the Gemara. Let me read inside first. Ebay say me this real under Shabbos man fill into call amalo lavor by kavana. Vola lots is by kavana. Vahach belavor shalob is manakam iflagi. Tanakama sever lo by kavana. So the Tanakama says that can happen below kavana. Veramingam lil sever lavor shalob is mano by kavana. So the Gemara says, e hachi, good, Ben. E hachi le rameir zug echa nami lo. So the Gemara says, based on this suggestion, the Gemara runs into a very serious question. Ben already anticipated it. So that means that according to Rabbi Meir, even one pair of tefillin on Shabbos. Rabbi Meir, by the way, is the Tanakhama. The Gemara just kind of slipped that in. It's a good assumption. So according to Rabbi Meir, you shouldn't even be wearing one pair of tefillin on that Shabbos. V'oda, yashem b'shmina b'sukkah yalake. So the Gemara says, and furthermore, you sleep in the sukkah on the eighth day. So shouldn't you get Malkus? meaning shouldn't she be subject to the Isra of Baal Tosef? Again, the Gemara is not talking about our practice nowadays. Our practice nowadays, we're in the diaspora, we're singing the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because it's Sfeika Diyuma. But the Gemara here is referencing in Eretz Yisrael. You know it's the eighth day. There's no doubt. And you sleep in the Sukkah. Are you going to get Malkus for doing so? No. You're not going to get Malkus. Why not? So the assumption is because if it's not the right time to do a mitzvah, you're not going to be in violation of Baal Tosef. So the Gemara says, okay, fourth suggestion, scratch it. The Gemara says it's just not a valid way to explain. So we're going to go back to either one of the first three explanations of the Gemara. Although you could count, the Gemara did suggest that maybe the machlokus is how much area on your arm and on your head is there room for, one pair, two pair, but the Gemara kind of dismissed that out of hand. So basically, if I can just try to condense the whole discussion, basically it comes out to three plausible suggestions of the Gemara in terms of what is the machlokus in our mission between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel. Interesting, by the way, Rashi notes when the Gemara says, scratch it and go back, Rashi says, go all the way back to the first suggestion of the Gemara. Right? Rashi writes, Bishab is man, v'lav is man tfilin, hu kemiflegi. So basically, if you want to reduce the entire discussion that we just had in the Gemara, so Rashi says, just basically say, the machlokus between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Gamliel is whether Shabbos is man tfilin or not man tfilin. So just to repeat it one more time, according to the Tanakhama, Shabbos is man tfilin. So that means that according to the Tanakhama, when I put on my first pair of tfilin, I am now engaged in the mitzvah of wearing tfilin. Putting on a second pair, Baal Tosef. According to Rabbi Gamliel, Shabbos is not the Zman Tefillin. So what allows me now to put on the Tefillin? Hatzalah, saving of the Tefillin. It falls under the category of Tachshit. And because there's room on your arm and on your head to put on two pair, so therefore you could put on two pair. What about Baal Tosef? No, I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah. Baal Tosef is only when I'm fulfilling a mitzvah and then I'm adding to the mitzvah. Here, I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah according to Rabbi Gamliel. It's not Zman Tefillin. And therefore, I could put on two pairs of tefillin. Ad kan, that is the Gemara's explanation in terms of our Mishnah, whether or not you're going to be able to wear one or two pairs of tefillin.
Why did you need to be having to do a mitzvah in order to be Baal Tosef? By definition, it's outside the Zman, but I'm telling
right.
You're adding by putting it on.
No, because if it's outside the Zman, it's just Baal Tosef basically means I'm doing a mitzvah and I'm going to add to the mitzvah I'm currently doing. If I'm not doing a mitzvah at all, so then there's no Baal Tosef. Baal Tosef needs a starting point of mitzvah, and then I'm augmenting to the mitzvah. But if there's no mitzvah, then there's no Baal Tosef.
But he could be augmenting in time to put on the mitzvah.
I understand that argument, and the Gemara entertained that argument, but the Gemara basically said it's not a valid argument. I hear your point. And the Gemara did suggest it for three lines, but the Gemara says no. That's not how to understand Baal Tosef. We're back into the Gemara now, and now we get to take a step backwards. Because the Gemara, throughout this whole discussion, says Shabbos. This is the right time for tefillin. Shabbos is not the right time for tefillin. Where does all this generate from? How do we know, or from where can we suggest this idea that Shabbos is not the right time for tefillin? So here is some very basic Gemara coming up. Uman. So who's of the opinion that Shabbos is in fact Zman Tefillin? So Rabbi Akiva de Tanya. So Gemara says, it is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva because we learned in the following, V'shamata Tzachuk HaZos L'Mo'ada Miyamim Yamima. Gemara quotes from my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, the end of Parsha's Bow, that you must observe this chuk, right, this law, right, L'Mo'ada Miyamim Yamima. Right, day in, day out. You must observe this law.
What about the Lamado means a specific time.
Now, the Torah is making kind of an ambiguous reference, meaning that this is the end of Parshas Bo. What was discussed in Parshas Bo? A lot. Right. And there were mitzvahs also mentioned at the end of Parshas Bo as well. But obviously, what seems to be that the Torah is referring to is the mitzvah of tefillin. Although it's not totally clear. But let's... I'll come back to that point in just a moment. That's a very important point. Yamim v'lo leilos. First of all, this chok, whatever it may be, daytime, not nighttime. Mi yamim v'lo kol yamim. And also the Torah says, mi yamim. We see this time and again. Right? Mi kem. Some of you, not all of you. Mi yamim. Some days, not all days. Meaning there's some days where it's just not shayach. The opinion of Rav Yossi HaGalili is not Shabbos, not Yantav. Shabbos and Yantav, you do not put on tefillin. It's not every day. Rabbi Kiva Omer, lo nemer chukazu ela le'inyan Pesach bavad. Rabbi Kiva says, no, scratch this whole discussion. You're right about the Pasuk and you're right, and you're right about the Drasha. But the Pasuk is not talking about the mitzvah of tefillin. The Pasuk goes back contextually over everything that was discussed prior, which is the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. That's what you must keep. That's the chok that you have to keep, right? Miyamim yamima, which by the way cannot mean every day, because we don't bring the Karban Pesach every day. It just simply means at its appointed time. You must fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. That means that according to Rabbi Akiva, I don't have the yamim v'lo leilos. According to Rabbi Akiva, I don't have the miyamim v'chol kol yamim. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, when do I wear tefillin? Every day. And night as well, according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's not a time-bound mitzvah. It's a non-time bound mitzvah. Rabbi Yossi Glui obviously disagrees. So
according to Rabbi Akiva, women could wear tefillin.
That's gonna come up in today's daf. Okay, I'll mention this briefly. It's important, it's classic, as they say. The Rabbi Yossi Glui's position, which is the one we follow, is that we do not wear tefillin on Shabbos and on Yontif. What about Chol HaMoed? Yeah, good answer. That's the correct answer. What about Chol HaMoed? So Tosfos over here has a discussion. Nira, it's the top Tosfos on the Amud. The Adarshin and the Laos Ayedcha the Besamach Kasamach Chol Chora ain't laniach tefillin b'Chol HaMoed. Now, the truth of the matter is, I'm reading this Tosfos a little too early because Tosfos is touching on a point of the Gemara which we haven't seen yet, which I kind of feel like everyone knows, and that is the idea that Shabbos is an os and Yontif is an os, and therefore don't wear tefillin because tefillin serve as an os, and I don't need the os of tefillin on a day which is already an os, which we're going to get to later in the Gemara. But anyway, Tosfos takes the position over here: do not put tefillin on during the Chol HaMoed. And Tosfos quotes proof for it. Tosfos quotes a Yerushalmi that suggests that you should put tefillin on during Chol HaMoed, and basically, as Ben points out correctly, it's a machlokas whether or not tefillin should or should not be worn on Chol HaMoed. What does it come down to? A machlokas between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch says that we do not put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed, and the Ramah says we do, but the Ramah hedges a little bit. I'm not so sure if we should or we shouldn't. So the Ramah writes that when you make a bracha on your tefillin during Chol HaMoed, do so quietly. Okay. Some are of the opinion, by the way, some disagree with the Ramah. Some say don't make a bracha. If you're going to put tefillin on, don't make a bracha at all. I'm sure.
If
Tosfos
says you don't, who does Ramah?
So there are other Rishonim. Meaning Tosfos is not the only Rishon amongst the Ashkenazim. There are other Rishonim that the Ramah is relying on, but you're correct. In other words, it's strange. Tosfos says don't, and Ramah says do. The point is very valid. The Gra was a strong advocate not to put on tefillin during Chol HaMoed. In Eretz Yisrael, it's nearly universal, practically universal. In Eretz Yisrael, that no one wears tefillin on Chol HaMoed, neither the Sephardim nor the Ashkenazim. Sephardim for sure don't, or Shulchan Aruch says not to, but neither the Ashkenazim as well, as most Minag Ashkenazim in Eretz Yisrael follows the Gra. Okay, no, that's not unilateral, but that's, you know, it's a general truism. So the, okay. German Jews do. Oh, okay, again, we can go on this topic. But in the meantime, however, that's just one small issue that comes up in today's daf, and you see Tosfos right over here. Let's go back to the Gemara inside. The Elaha did not. So the Gemara says, fine. So where we stand right now is trying to find who holds the Shabbos as Montfilin, who holds Shabbos as not Montfilin. The way we have it right now comes out that according to Rabbi Akiva, Shabbos is Montfilin. And so it's nighttime, it's Montfilin as well. According to Rav Yossi HaGalili, neither Shabbos nor Laila is Montfilin. The Gemara says we have a Mishnah, Pesach v'Amila, Mitzvah Saseh. The Mishnah says that Pesach and Mila is a positive commandment. Lema Deloka Rabbi Kiva, Di Rabbi Kiva, Kim and Mukla B'Pesach. Lav Nami Ika. So the Gemara says, it comes out that according to Rabbi Akiva, the Karban Pesach is not only a se and a se, it's also a lav as well. How do we get that? How do we arrive at that conclusion? Because the pasuk that we just quoted at the end of Parshas Bo, Vishamarta, you have the word shimur, shomer. And we know as a general rule, anytime that the Torah instructs us to do something with the word of shmor, that falls under the category of a lav. Ika kid Rabbi Abban Amar Rabbi Elai, Damar Rabbi Abban Amar Rabbi Elai, Komakum Shenemar, Hishamer Pen Va'al, Eino Ala Belo Saseh. The words Hishamer Pen or Al always introduce a Lo Saseh in the Torah. So the Gemara says, so why comes out now, should come out now, according to Rabbi Akiva, the mitzvah of Karban Pesach is a positive and a negative commandment. The Gemara says, no, I feel the same Rabbi Akiva. Hishamer Delav Lav, Hishamer Daaseh Aseh. The Gemara says, Hishamer is kind of an ambiguous term and really can go in one of two directions. If it's Hishamer regarding a negative prohibition, like, for example, the only example that comes to my mind, Tzaras. The Torah says that if you have Tzaras on your skin, on your body, don't cut it off. Right, he shamer benegat tzaras. So there, the context over there clearly is don't do it. So that he shamer is a lav. Over here, however, Karban Pesach contextually, Karban Pesach is a mitzvah saseh. It's a positive commandment. There's really no other way to look at it. It's a positive commandment. So when I have the he shamer, that means safeguard. But safeguard meaning make sure you do the Karban Pesach. So that's an aseh. Okay. So the Gemara says that's.
You get punished.
Correct. But it's not a lav in the Torah. It's a mitzvah saseh. V'savar Rabbi Kiva Shabbos man tefillin ivatayin. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, I'm with you. But let's now try to analyze Rabbi Kiva even a little bit more. You're telling me that according to Rabbi Kiva, Shabbos is man tefillin. Consider the following: Rabbi Kiva Omer Yachli Yanich Adam tefillin v'Shabbos is v'yamim tavim tavim lamer va'yelachal os ayadcha mishetrichem os yatzu ela shehein gufan os. So the Gemara quotes now a Braisa, and this Braisa is taught to us by Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says that tefillin is an os, Shabbos is an os, don't need to wear the tefillin on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're a little bit stuck right now because it comes out that according to Rabbi Akiva, I do not wear tefillin on Shabbos. So now, it's a little bit strange. Rabbi Gamliel, Shabbos is not Zman Tefillin, Miyamim Yamima. Rabbi Akiva, Shabbos is, he agrees, Shabbos is also not Zman Tefillin, but not because of Miyamim Yamima, but because of this concept of os. So, good. Not good. Meaning, we don't have a ton anymore who subscribes to the viewpoint that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin. Ela Haytanu D'Tanya. So the Gemara says, okay, I do have a Tana, and it goes like this. Haner Balayla Ratzah Choletz Ratzah Meiniach Divrei Rabbi Nasan. The if you're awake at night, so if you want to, you can take off your tefillin, and if you don't want to, you don't have to. So, Reb Yonasan Kitoni Omer Ein Manichin Tefillin Balayla. So, and Reb Yonasan Kitoni says, no, you don't no. Nighttime is not the right time for tefillin. So, Mi Delayla Latana Kama Zman Tefillin Shabbos Nami Zman Tefillin. So the Gemara now tries to make an argument. Well, don't you see that at least according to the first opinion of that brayso that we just quoted, Rabbi Nasan, if nighttime is okay for tefillin, shouldn't Shabbos be okay for tefillin? And the Gemara says, no, that's not a valid argument. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. They're not positively correlated with one another. In fact, meaning if you remember just a couple lines ago, we had Rabbi Kiva who didn't wear tefillin on Shabbos because of os, but wore tefillin at night, because he didn't have the drasha mi yamim yamima. So elai tanu detanya. So the Gemara says, okay, consider now the following braisa. Again, all we're doing right now, just one simple task, is we're trying to find a Tana who subscribes to the viewpoint that Shabbos is in fact zman tefillin. So the Gemara says, how about this? We have a braisa, micha ba shal haisa maneches tefillin. Michal, daughter, I'm sorry. See what I did there? The Gemara didn't say shal. I said shal. Michal bas kushi. Okay, but now I'll say it. That's shal. Okay. Good. Michal bas kushi haisa maneches tefillin. So Michal wore tefillin. V'lo michal ba chachamim. And the chachamim were fine with it. They didn't protest. They didn't repudiate her actions. The ishtel shel Yonah haisa ola l'regel. And the wife of Yonah performed the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. Aliyah l'regel. Pilgrimage. Every yontif, there's a mitzvah to go up to Yerushalayim and be seen in Yerushalayim with a karban. But that mitzvah is for men, not men, not for women, and the daughter. And the wife of Yonah went and she did the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel.
Did she go with her husband or with her husband?
I can only give you as much information as the Gemara gives, but you know, let's assume that they went together. So the Yavalom Michubach Chachamim. And the Chachamim didn't protest. So now we have this Braisa. So we have now two examples historically of one woman wearing tefillin, Michal Bas Shaul, and one woman performing the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Rego. And now again, the Gemara is trying to construct an argument. So the Gemara says, look, here's the argument. No protests. So Chachamim were okay with it. So because the Chachamim were okay with it, so what do you see? So it's a positive commandment that is not time-bound. So the Gemara now wants to make the argument. So if it's not time-bound, that means nighttime is okay, Shabbos is okay. That's the argument of the Gemara. Now, at this point, we already know the argument over here doesn't seem to be that strong. Meaning, if that's the argument,
example we want to prove that it's not time-bound.
Right.
It's like backwards. Then.
Well, not only that, but if it's not time-bound, so then it shouldn't be two women historically over the course of the entire Jewish history. It then should be every woman. Meaning, why then limit the scope of it to two women? Why not every woman? If it's not a time-bound mitzvah. So already you get the sense that this is not going to be a good argument. But Dilma, Savar La, Ki Rebbe Yosi, Damar Nashim, Samchus Rishus. And furthermore, the argument becomes even more shaky when you consider the following. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yosi, which is the following. You're right. Women are not subject to a lot of mitzvahs in the Torah because they're time-bound mitzvahs. Which, by the way, if you count it up, doesn't come out to really a whole lot of mitzvahs that are actually positive commandments that are time-bound. Okay, but there's a handful of them. You could come to me tomorrow morning and tell me I'm wrong. I don't even think there's a dozen. Okay, but whatever. Well, however many there are, it doesn't even matter. Rabbi Yossi's of the opinion that they're not obligated, but they can opt in. Right? They don't. In other words, just because they're exempt doesn't mean they're excluded. They can opt in to do the mitzvah sasei shazman grama. So your argument again, the argument doesn't really stand. I mean, Michal wore tefillin, and Ishto Shayona did Aliyah L'Rego. That doesn't mean that they're obligated. It could mean that they're exempt, but they just simply took it upon themselves to do the mitzvahs. Damar Nashim Samchas Rishus. In fact, right, we have a basic idea, which is the mitzvah of smicha. Smicha over here means that when I bring a carbon, personal carbon, so the mitzvah is for me to put my hand on the carbon, actually lean on the carbon, and depending on what the carbon is, sometimes I'll do vidua as well as they do smicha. Now that mitzvah is for men to do smicha, not for women. What if a woman wants to do smicha? Good, more power to her. The ilo tem achisho shayona aitha ol l'rego v'lo micha ba mikol amandam l'rego lav mitzvah sasei shazman gramahu. The Gemara says, and of course this has to be the argument. It has to be. Because there were two examples given in the Braisa. Tefillin and Aliyah L'Rego. Now tefillin, we could equivocate. Aliyah L'Rego, there's no equivocation. Aliyah L'Rego is a time-bound mitzvah. It only is on Yontif. So therefore, we know that it only applies to men and not to women. And meanwhile, Ishto Shiyona did it. What does that tell us? Again, it tells us that she's not obligated, but if she wants to, she can opt in. This is already strike three. I don't know if you've been keeping score. But in other words, we're looking for a Tana who holds that Shabbos is Montfilin, and we have now attempted but failed three times now through three different braces to show that Shabbos is Montfilin. Just one other point I want to point out over here, another very basic discussion that comes up in today's daf. Women, by the way, that's the halacha, meaning for any mitzvah that a woman is exempt from, but if she wants to, she can opt in. Is she going to make a bracha when she does that mitzvah? So shofar, right, is a simple example. So women, right, but the minhag, there's an accepted minhag that women hear shofar, but there's no mitzvah for a woman to hear shofar. It's a time-bound mitzvah. Okay, but there's an accepted minhag. Should she make a bracha or should she hear a bracha when blowing the shofar? Now, usually it's not a relevant discussion because she's hearing it in shul and there are men over there and the bracha is going to be made either way. But if she's the only one right now who needs to perform the mitzvah, does she make a bracha on doing a mitzvah where she's not obligated but she's opting in to do so? She's doing so voluntarily. So for that, you can see Tosfos on the bottom, starts on the bottom at Sadi Vav Amid Aleph, continues through Sadi Vav Amid Beis, it's a lengthy Tosfos, where he discusses this issue and debates this issue. Again, it comes out to Machlokas between Sfardim and Ashkenazim, between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch takes the position that women do not make a bracha on mitzvahs that they're not obligated to do. Ashkenazim, the Ramah says that women do make a bracha on mitzvot that they are opting in to do. Okay. All right, so the Gemara is going to get to that in just a moment. Now that's coming up in today's daf. Okay. Elahai Tanahi. The Gemara says, okay, so what about the following? What about the following braisa? Amotzi til machnis and zugzug echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha. Echad chadashos ve'echad yishanos. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says it doesn't matter who found them, man or woman. It doesn't matter what condition they were found in, whether they were new or whether they were old. So Rabbi Yehuda osir b'chadashos u'matir b'yishanos. And Rabbi Yehuda makes a distinction between new versus old. Now you remember yesterday we talked about new versus old, but let's just focus on the one point that the Gemara is trying to make. Ad kan lo pligi ala b'chadashos v'yishanos aval b'isha lo pligi. Now there's no debate over here that when a woman finds tefillin, so she's going to pick the tefillin up and she's going to wear them. So again, now the Gemara is trying to make an argument. If women are picking it up and bringing it home, what does that tell us? It tells us she's obligated. The Gemara says, really? That's what it tells us? Vidilma lo. Vidilma sever la karab yosid amanashim sachos rishus. So the Gemara says, can we go back and say that they're not obligated, but they're doing so voluntarily? Lo sachadacha, delo karamir, savala karabiosi, velo rabbi Yehuda, savala karabiosi. So the Gemara says that that's just simply not going to be a plausible argument under these circumstances. Lo rabbi Meir, savala karabiosi. I know rabbi Meir doesn't hold of rabiosi, did none. Ein machvina satinokas mulatkoa. Now, child wants to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. He's a child. He's not fulfilling a mitzvah. Do I have to stop him? Well, if he's giving me a headache, I probably will. But in other words, but halachically, there's no problem. Let him go. He's a child. But hanashim me'akvim. Now, but if it's a woman who's blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, so you're going to stop her. Meaning because, A, she's not obligated to do so. B, it's an important one, she can't opt in. According to the author of this braisa. Who's the author of this braisa? Stam Aslis and Rabbi Meir. Well, that's the Mishnah. And we know as a general rule that Stam Mishnah is a Rabbi Meir. So I know now that Rabbi Meir does not agree with Rabbi Yossi. That means according to Rabbi Meir, women cannot opt into mitzvahs that they're not obligated to do. Well, Rabbi Yehuda says, look at Rabbi Yossi. And I also know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi. Detayim will enter a braisa. Dabir al-bnei Yisro v'samach b'nei Yisro samchim ve'im b'nei Yisro samchos. Women cannot do smicha, meaning not only are they not obligated smicha, but one more step, they can't do smicha. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Menashim, Samchas, Rishos. And Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi say, no, if they wanted, they could do smicha. They can opt in. No, they're not obligated, but they can opt in. V'stam sifra mani, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, that is a sifra, Taurus Kohanim. Who is the author of Taurus Kohanim anonymously? If not given any attribution, we say it's Rabbi Yehuda. So, what comes out over here is I have two Tanayim. We're finishing up. I have two Tanayim. We have Rabbi Yehuda. We have Rabbi Yossi. Sorry. We have Rabbi Yehuda. We have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda of the Sefra, Rabbi Meir of the Mishnah. They're of the opinion that women who are not obligated to mitzvah, not only are they not obligated, they can't do the mitzvah. Now I go back just six or seven lines back in the Gemara. Then that braisa that we quoted, that if I find tefillin out in the street, whether it's a man who finds it, whether a woman who finds it, they'll pick it up and they'll bring it inside. And whose opinion is that? Rabbi Meir. The same Rabbi Meir who says that if women are not obligated, they can't do it. So now it comes out finally, right? Mission accomplished. We finally found a Tana who's of the opinion that women are obligated in tefillin, dahainu, that there's no zman, there's no time for tefillin, Shabbos is the right time for tefillin, as it's nighttime is the right time for tefillin. Okay. Hopefully we're not totally lost in this whole discussion. What comes out from this whole discussion of the Gemara? Okay, four, reduced down to three, possibly down to one. Explanation of the Machlokas in our Mishnah in terms of the Tanakhama versus Rami Gamliel, why they argue how many pairs of tefillin I can wear at one time on a given Shabbos, and then the discussion on a Gemara, who's the Tana who's of the opinion that Shabbos is Zman Tefillin? Meaning most Tanayim are of the opinion Shabbos is lav's man tefillin. Who's of the opinion that Shabbos is man tefillin? And we brought it down to basically Rebbe Meir, who's of the opinion Shabbos is man tefillin. Okay.